Them phone lines are ringing in Boston. My understanding is the Celtics are getting offers, calls on both Jaylen Brown and Derek White. The Celtics have high price thresholds for both players. We know how great Jaylen Brown and Derek White are. So I'm sure they're getting some massive offers, some pretty big time calls as well. Their preference has been to keep both players, but this is a team that's still in the first apron, still a luxury tax team, still dealing with the uncertainty of Jason Tatum's status next season. So at minimum, I expect Sam Hauser, Anfernee Simons as names that will be discussed. Will a team match that price threshold that the Celtics, I'm told, have set around the league for Jaylen Brown and Derek White to be able to get them? They are listening, but will a team get there? Just in the span of the last 2 days, Scott, though, they've shed $180 million in luxury tax savings. They've gotten out of the second apron, but with a season next year full of uncertainty, just how much do they want to get out of these aprons and the taxes?
Shams Charania last night with SVP. Getting big offers for Jaylen and White at minimum. They're listening on Hauser and Anfernee Simons, who just got here. That'd be a shame. You and I both like Anfernee Simons.
I like Simons. I'll be disappointed if they move on from him.
Same. So the Celtics aren't done. And it's in the name of shedding payroll, which I got to be honest, I no longer get. They just shed all the payroll.
Yeah, they should be good.
They're below the second apron.
Yeah.
So why are they shedding more payroll again? To do what?
I mean, because free agency doesn't seem like it's going to be all that good.
No.
It's not like you're saving it for that. Now, I guess two guys that were on the team last year that are free agents are Luke Kornet and Al Horford. I'd be shocked if Horford wanted to come back to this, but you never know.
And he sounded like a goner at the end of the year.
He sounded
like a guy who knew he wasn't going to be back.
I think if Tatum was healthy, there's a chance that Horford's like, sure, he's been here a long time and likes it here. So maybe he would have, but with no Tatum, I think he's gone. Maybe they bring back Luke Kornet, so maybe they need a little bit more money. But if you said you had to flip Hauser for Kornet, Baylor Shireman picks up some of the Sam Hauser role, you keep Simons, I think that's an entertaining team. I'd go with that.
Same. So I'm not going to cry if they trade Hauser. I mean, again, let me see the return, and like if it's awful, then we'll debate
then.
But
yeah,
in a vacuum, I'm not going to cry about trading Hauser. I'd be annoyed if they traded Simons. Jaylen Brown and Derek White, we've talked about this for weeks now. There are moves I would make for those guys. If Dallas wants to get crazy and give you the number one pick for Jaylen, which isn't going to happen, fine, I'd do that. If you can get Giannis, I'd do that. There are names I would trade Jaylen for. There's names I would trade Derek White for. You brought up Triple J yesterday, Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
If Memphis wants to keep moving off pieces and they like Derek White, fine. Like, there are names I would do those type of trades for. I wouldn't trade Derek White for a Desmond Bane, Mikhail Bridges type of trade where you're getting 4 and 5 first-round picks back and pick swaps that are all protected and you're not going to see for years and years and years. I don't want to do that for Derek White. You're under the second apron. You should be done. So I keep hearing, did Wiggy corner you about like Celtics trade ideas? Is that what I heard? We're literally in the corner over there.
I was.
I kind of overheard. I was getting water, and yeah. But I did overhear some of
it. No, he wants
to
tank.
Right. I don't get that.
He wants to tank.
And
so this is his point. But his point is,
I think a lot of fans kind of want to do that. They're like, yeah, just keep tearing it down. I don't
get that.
I don't either.
Especially with the way the East is. But so no, Wiggy's point was, and I'm sure he shared it on the show, but it was keep Jaylen Brown, flip Derek White, and just be terrible this year, even with Jalen Brown. So Jalen Brown and like
so
nothing
then
else.
Your own pick is good. You got a bunch of picks from wherever you flip Derek White to.
Yeah, so say you get a really good pick or potentially a good pick for White, also your own good pick, but then trade those picks is what he's saying. So he's not trying to get like a youth movement. He's saying take Tatum Brown and whatever you can get with
Bite the bullet for a year. You have a million draft picks.
And
to
get the good disgruntled player from somewhere else.
Okay.
So whether it's like, you know, again, Devin Booker or somebody like that, you bring him in.
All right. Well, if you're telling me the ultimate end game is I'm adding Devin Booker to Tatum and Brown, that's not a bad plan.
Yeah, right. But I don't know if you need to tank for this year. I don't love that. That's a long season. We've done it a few times. You're really wasting a year of Jaylen Brown. And I know it's an uphill climb. You don't have Tatum, so how good are they going to be? But they have the third best odds to win the East. That, like, you're not bad enough to like punt the whole thing away. Now, I am disappointed on the return because I was excited about Simons. I'm like, maybe you get something better for Porzingis. Turns out that was just a salary dump. You are getting Jason Tatum back at age 28. So I don't want him to return and be like, we have nothing for you. And like with Wiggy's plan, it's good if everything works out. If you actually get a top 3 pick, if you actually get another player from another team, you already have Brown. You already have Derek White. I would rather just keep those guys and then just add Tatum back to the mix.
Or I would tell you, trade Derek White for that player. You don't need to do like three extra steps to do that. I bet Derek White could be a core piece in return for a Devin Booker or whatever kind of player you're talking about.
And think about that, too. And not that it's really worked for any of these teams, but when teams have kind of assembled their super teams in the past, it wasn't always with like the number one pick, right? Like when the Nets sort of formed together and like, they traded freaking Ben Simmons to get James Harden with Philly. You know what I mean? Like you could find ways to get guys there. Other star players could force their ways to other teams and all that stuff. But no, I would try to make this year's team as good as you can and then be ready to go with Tatum.
So obviously the Celtics still need to sign guys. The draft is tonight. A first round pick actually is going to cost you a decent amount of money. And so I guess the roundabout way of saying you're actually not that far under the second apron if you're going to sign players and add players. So I get a little bit more back-end maneuvering, which is why I'll allow for something like Sam Hauser.
Yeah.
Do you want more big moves? Do you want them to trade White? Do you want them to trade Jaylen Brown? Do you want them to burn it down? Or are they now good? Bill Chisholm, they got under the second apron. Tatum's hurt. We'll all stomach it because Tatum's hurt. Otherwise, I'd be more annoyed at the crappy return you got for Kristaps Porzingis. And I'll be really annoyed if you turn around and flip Anthony Simons, who we both like.
Yeah.
Do you want them to be done, or do you want more big moves? Again, 617-779-7937. Let me introduce this, Keith.
All right.
Steve Bulpet.
Okay.
Who reported that apparently Jrue Holiday is pissed about going to Portland.
I can understand that.
I get that, too. That makes sense.
I get it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets flipped.
Yeah.
Never mind Simons gets flipped. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets flipped. But also, in Steve Bulpet's reporting, longtime reporter at the Boston Herald, he's now at Heavy.com.
Okay.
Celtics trying to move into the lottery with Illinois guard Kasperis Jakachonis.
Hell yeah.
Said to be the target. Forget the name and the specific target. I'm just giving you the Bulpet report.
But they got a guy in the draft they like.
Should they be moving up to the late lottery tonight? Is that a move that we think is in play? Is that a move that would excite you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I was not... Something I wasn't anticipating, right? I just feel like when you have such a low pick and you're not getting involved in the top picks. And we were saying before, you know, I wasn't even all that interested in picks 2, 3, 4, and 5, to be honest. So, like, do I want to move up to 14? Listen, Brad's been pretty good at identifying players. He hasn't had a lot of opportunity in the draft yet. You know, maybe Baylor Shireman ends up being something, but, like, most of his maneuverings have been trades. So if he feels that strongly about moving up in the draft, then, like, yeah, I'll see what that looks like. I'm fine for that. Plus, if you do want to get down the road of adding guys to Tatum and Brown, if you hit on a pick at 14, that's another guy that could be flipped away and traded away. You see that happen all the time. Hell, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was one of those guys.
It's true.
That was picked there and then traded for a team that thought they were adding a better player and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, I'm open to that. That would catch me a little off guard, but that's another way to sort of build your team. And I think something that Brad Stevens would be excited about, because I'm sure he's like, oh, man, I got to do, like, salary moves right now. He's like, I'm going to do basketball moves. Because when he took over, he was just doing basketball moves.
Yep.
He was getting Jrue Holiday. He was getting Al Horford. He was getting Kristaps Porzingis. These were all basketball moves. Now he's being told, well, these great trades that you made and contracts that you signed, we got to get rid of them. Whoa. And so now he's like, all right, well, at least the draft, maybe that's more his sort of wheelhouse.
Let's see. And you're fair to point that out. But here's what I would say. And we talked about this a couple of weeks back, maybe even a month back. Brad Stevens, I think, is a really good GM. But the degree of difficulty for him has been very, very, very low. I mean, he pretty much was able to bring in whatever he wanted, and sign whoever he wanted to extensions. Like, his degree of difficulty has been pretty low. He came in with Tatum and Brown in place. I like some of the roster retooling he did, but he was able to acquire guys and then extend them and pay them. That's not a real high degree of difficulty. Like, Porzingis is available. Holiday became available because another team made a trade.
And Derek White was a good move.
You went and pounced. That's a really good move.
Derek White was a great move.
I'll give you that one. But I think now the degree of difficulty is a lot higher.
Oh,
and
it's through the roof.
We're like, man, Brad Stevens never loses a trade. Well, he just lost one. This Porzingis trade is garbage. just lost it.
Wait till Niang, though, sets up shop in the corner.
He starts
burying threes.
And if you want to start talking about saving money, well, then you should be front row at Fenway cheering on John Henry for all the money he saves and the way they just make great, brilliant contractual trades. Because that's what this was. On no planet, even if Niang played 82 and Porzingis played 20 games, on no planet is Niang in the same universe as Porzingis. No. So you got way, way, way worse on the floor. Again, Mathewin.
Yeah, that's good.
Earmuffs. But
best ability, though, is availability.
And if we're going to start cheering on contractual moves, you guys must all love the direction of the Red Sox.
No, I don't love that.
Who we'll be getting to coming up at 617-779-7937. What happened last night? Keith, it's bad enough when this team kicks you square in the nuts and it's a 7 o'clock start.
I was gonna say, at 9:35 when they lose a heartbreaker, it's one thing.
When it's
12:30.
Yeah. At 12:30 and you're gagging away games and getting kicked in the nuts trying to fall asleep, not great. Not for me. So we'll get to the Red Sox coming up, plus all your Celtics thoughts at 617-779-7937. Aaron Rodgers also says this is final year.
Is that what he said?
He's going out.
Okay.
Should we believe him?
A hero's tour on the way out.
Let's get to it next.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
One more year.
Yeah, for sure.
One more hurrah.
I definitely believe him.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Text line, though, does not like our characterization of the Celtics losing that trade. If I told you.
Well, it's a salary dump. So, I mean, if you're, like you said, if you're thrilled about the savings of money that is not your money.
You must love the Devers trade, then. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, if you love saving
Devers,
money.
Bets, they're all good deals.
You must be all about all the trades the Red Sox make. I mean, I don't notice an inconsistency at all. And
so we know why he was traded. Doesn't mean you have to like the return.
Yeah. I like trading Devers, by the way. I don't like saving John Henry money. I just wanted Devers the hell off the team.
Yeah.
I wanted to move Porzingis. If I told you yesterday, guys, they're going to get George Niang, would you be like, they should do better? Or that's a great trade?
Like George Niang and?
Also, I don't, right.
And
I don't
what
even,
else?
I don't even think most fans understand, and I don't blame them because it's confusing. But I don't think most fans understand what being under the second apron is. There are no real basketball penalties. You've illustrated this before, Keith.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
So, like, there's no real penalty other than Bill Chisholm's wallet. There's no real penalty. And there's definitely no timeline to trade Porzingis. This is the other thing I think people don't realize. They don't have to make any trades until the trade deadline. They do not have to be cap compliant, if you will, under the luxury tax, the second apron, by opening night. They can do it in season next year, so there is no rush. And trust me, a player like George Niang in a salary dump was going to be there at the trade deadline. You didn't have to rush out and do it unless your owner twisted your arm and made you. If you think Brad Stevens wanted to pull the trigger on this trade beyond the finances, you're nuts.
So somebody in the Twitch chat saying we don't understand the second apron. I think that we do. And
I think, as much as I can,
it is complicated, but we've outlined it before.
Keith is very well detailed, laid out the quote unquote basketball penalties. They're insignificant
so
at best.
So the only reason why they're important is if you are in the second apron and you don't like your roster, then it's very difficult to make certain moves, right? But if you really
your
roster.
You can't aggregate salaries.
There's a whole list here. You're restricted
on money you can bring in.
Yeah, no access to like the mid-level exception, restrictions on sign-in trades, a team's first-round pick. 7 years in the future is frozen if the team is over the second apron at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like picks moving around. If you like your roster.
Right, if you wanted to run it back. If Tatum were healthy and you wanted to run it back with Tatum.
You could easily
Jaylen,
do it.
White, yeah. Porzingis. Holiday, Pritchard, Hauser, they could have done all of that with minimal basketball penalties if Chisholm wanted to foot the bill. They could have done that.
Right. It's the owners that are convincing you that they can't do it because it's all about money. Because it's a salary cap league, but it's the most convoluted cap in the world. And then they put in all these penalties because they do, I guess, ultimately want parity. That's why they put all this stuff in. But let's say in a perfect world, a crazy hypothetical, Kristaps Porzingis is healthy as an ox and he's never missing games. Jason Tatum never tore his Achilles and Drew Holiday looked like he did a couple of years ago. You would not want to tear this team apart.
No.
It'd be insane to tear this team apart. And yeah, the new owner had to pay more money, but you'd be able to afford all of these guys. You'd be able to keep all of these guys.
Right.
Tell me why they shouldn't do that.
If we just care about saving owners money, you guys must have been big Red Sox fans for all the moves they made the last 5 years.
Seriously.
The Devers trade would have been way more popular.
Why do you want them to have like more money? I don't get it. Don't you want the better team?
So we said this earlier. Chisholm I think the fan base would be more pissed if Tatum were healthy. He's got a lot of cover, and he lucked into, in some ways, Tatum being hurt.
Yeah.
Because it gave him the excuse of all excuses to burn it down as far as he wants.
I would combine that with Porzingis being hurt.
Yeah,
if Porzingis had a monster play, say they lose to the Knicks, but Porzingis is killing it. And he's looking great.
He wasn't taking naps right after the post-game.
He wasn't super tired after playing 11 minutes in a playoff game. I think that also changes things. Because at least that's how I'm sort of viewing this Porzingis era, specifically the last year. It's, yeah, he's a really nice player. He's just never available. And now that Tatum's out this year, you need all the best players on your team to be available. So you're already paying Tatum $56 million or whatever it is to rehab. Do you want to pay another guy $30 million to play maybe half the games? No. So I'll take a little less of a player. Now, I didn't think it would be the drop-off Porzingis to Niang, and that's why it's, all right, let's see what Brad does with these other moves. Let's see what he does with the draft picks tonight. Let's see what he does with Sam Hauser. Let's see what he does with some of, I guess, now the flexibility that they have, because thank God they're under the second apron. Now, we can all breathe easy and sleep at night because they're under the second apron.
Yeah. Bill Chisholm, to me, I'm not liking the early returns. And Tatum getting hurt gave him cover to do whatever he wants. I mean, hell, fans, and we hear from them, even Wiggy, like, keep burning it down. Trade pieces like Derek White. Some people want Jaylen Brown traded.
I don't want that.
And the Tatum injury gave him carte blanche to do that. And I don't like it. They're under the second apron now. They do not need to make any more moves for financial reasons. So if they keep doing it, you'll know it's Chisholm pulling the strings. You don't believe Aaron Rodgers, though, huh? He says he's last ride.
I think it's almost amazing. Now, unfortunately, he didn't go to the Vikings. He went to the Steelers. The similarities between him and Brett Favre are wild.
Off the charts.
It's insane. Like, with the whole Jets thing and then, like, the retiring. Now, they're obviously different personalities, and there are certain things that they're very different about. But, like, their careers mirror each other in so many ways. But I do think that if he has a good year, which I don't think is happening, you don't think he could be back? Or at the very least, if he's healthy at the end of the year, he's not going to pull the same crap and have people talking about him? Like, I don't know. You can't believe really much of what he says.
Well, and I heard Greg and Courtney and Curtis and Wiggy talking about this morning. It's like, it is an a-hole move, too, to miss everything in the offseason program outside of mandatory minicamp. You show up at the last second right before mandatory minicamp, even though everybody knew you were going there all along. And then the second you get there, you're back to squawking away on McAfee. They gave him a standing ovation after that, by the way. I'm not exaggerating.
Of course.
The show gave him a standing ovation.
For saying
congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, man. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Wait, congratulations on what?
On his career, I guess. He's still got another
year. He's still playing, isn't he?
Right. And so standing ovation on McAfee. Squawking away. He just barely got there. And he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, this is my last year. It's like, what an a-hole move to all his teammates.
Yeah, yeah. Shocking.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's just there's no self-awareness, and there hasn't been for a long time. And just anybody in the locker room who is on board with the move, A, I don't know why you were, but if you were, B, it's like, oh, great. Now it's just the Aaron Rodgers retirement tour because, yeah, this is my final year.
Oh, the rest of the league already hates him, but now the Steelers also hate him. Because usually there's like those guys that every team in the league would hate, but he's our guys. We're going to embrace him. You think Steeler fans? Now, they're desperate for good quarterback play, so if he plays well, maybe they'll embrace him. But right now, I can't imagine that they're thrilled to have Aaron Rodgers take over.
No.
It's just that the alternatives right now are, you know, Will Howard or whatever else they have up there.
Yeah. No, and even Pittsburgh wanted other quarterbacks. We talked about this before. They wanted Stafford. They wanted Fields before
right,
Rodgers.
Right,
like,
right,
even
right.
Even like the decision makers there. Forget the players like Cam Hayward, who sounded pretty indifferent.
Would they have been better off with Russell Wilson again?
No.
So you think I do think
Rodgers is an upgrade over Wilson, but we're talking about
barely
netting out at the end of the day in the same place. And I've said this before.
Does he make the playoffs with the Steelers?
No, I think
the Steelers players before he signed like a couple months ago were like, do not come here.
Yeah. Cam Hayward was like, he was on some show and they're like, do you have a pitch for Rodgers? He's like, either sign or don't.
I think it was like lower level guys were like, please do not come.
And now he signed and he's like, all right, guys, it's all about me. It's my final ride, 20 years.
Hell yeah, brother. But yeah, way to go. Yeah, congrats. But at least Pittsburgh won't do, at least I don't think, they won't do the Jets thing where they give him his coordinator, they give him all his former receivers, TBD.
Alan Lazard available. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he pops up there.
That's true.
And so, I've made this prediction before, and I guess this is worse off than they were a year ago with Russell Wilson. I think it's the first time Tomlin's below 500, and I think they're missing the playoffs this year. And I think Rodgers will do that to him. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. By the way, quick thoughts. You like the Methuen minivan as a nickname, right, Keith?
I do.
The Twitch chat is saying, come on, you don't like the Methuen minivan.
Yeah,
that's
I do.
A great nickname. You like the nickname.
Oh, I like the nickname. And I like the player fine. Like, I like him as
if they signed him as a mid-level guy-ish.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's a shooter off the bench. I'd take him on the team. As a return for Porzingis, it stinks.
I just got my hopes up because I thought they got something good in the salary dump of Jrue Holiday. I thought maybe they could get something good in the salary dump of Porzingis. And they got something just, you know, a little underwhelming.
It's unquestionably a great nickname, though. I am.
The Methuen minivan?
I am on board with that.
Incredible.
We'll continue here with all your feedback coming up. You want to jump in on Aaron Rodgers or the Celtics and their flurry of activity in the last 48 hours. And it sounds like they're not done, by the way. But let's get to the Red Sox, who maybe should be done. Kicking you in the nuts at midnight is a new tradition they've started on this road trip that I'm not really on board with. What are they going to do going forward? We got news on Bregman, another terrible loss, another wasted start for Garrett Crochet. We'll get to the Sox next.